Spotify and Echo Nest Music have combined efforts, and they have gone through all the Christmas songs, the Christmas carols, whatever you want to call them. They have gone through, and they have seen how many, counted how many Christmas songs there are. And so I'm sure that it was an intense journey to do that. But they've come up with that there is 180,660 different Christmas songs. Now, you can get on Spotify or you can get on Echo Nest and you can download any of those music, any songs that are on there. Those songs go all the way from A to Z, right? In Christmas celebration. Some of those songs are like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, right? And a very silly song talking about a deer with a red nose that somehow was invited by Santa to guide his sleigh through the night. So a kind of a out there type of song. It's fun to sing, perhaps, but the meaning is a little bit shallow in that song. No, a lot of bit shallow in that song, right? And so, and then we can go all the way to the other end of the spectrum, and we get "Oh Holy Night," and just the power of that song, and that when it is sung and it's sung, some of the voices can really just sing that song, and singing about even the statement "When long lay the world in sin and error." Pining, you know, just this want for something more. And the song goes on to talk about the breathing, the breath of God coming in the Christ child and what that meant to our world. Just a powerful song, all the way from the real shallow perhaps to the real depth of the Christian songs, or the Christmas songs. And then we have songs like "A Good King Wenceslas," right? And I, if I'm saying that right, I don't know. But just so you know, this is on that list of Christmas songs. That's not a Christmas song, just in case you're wondering. We sing it at Christmas, but the Feast of Stephen is another name for Boxing Day. Okay, so it's talking about Boxing Day. It's not talking about Christmas. It's a cool, really cool song about someone seeing someone's need and not being okay with just looking at someone's need, but actually going out and helping someone in that need. Powerful song, but not has nothing to do with the Nativity or Christmas time. It's Boxing Day. And then we have songs like this that we sing, "Joy to the World." Just a really fun song to sing. Again, it has nothing to do with Christmas, and this might deflate your song. It's Isaac Watts wrote that in relationship to the second coming of Jesus. It's when Jesus returns to the earth the second time to set up his kingdom here on earth. It is focused on Psalm 98. And if you read all the way through all the verses of "Joy to the World," it makes perfect sense that it's not the nativity of Jesus. It is the second coming of Jesus. But we sing it. It's not wrong to sing it at Christmas time, but it's in that Christmas. We have all the way from this very shallow to this very depth to ones that get assigned to Christmas that really aren't Christmas songs. And then we get a song like this one. It's the 12 Days of Christmas, right? And I don't know, maybe this fits into the annoying category. I don't know. You know, you sing it over and over and over. And I know maybe you believe, and I don't know there's much historical fact that it's the code for all the things of our Christian faith. I'm not ready to sign on or jump onto that boat. And some people can make that argument for it or not. But just singing that song, and I have a question about that song. I have a question. My question is, do I get a partridge every day for 12 days? I get a partridge on the first day, but then on the second day, you know, I get two turtle doves, and then I get a partridge again. Is it the same partridge, or do I get another partridge? I want to figure this out because it's pretty intense as you continue to go along with this song of what you're going to be receiving. Do you receive two turtle doves on the second day and every day for 11 days thereafter, which adds up after a while? I mean, you're going to end up with a bunch of turtle doves, right? You're going to end up with a bunch of French hens. Just so you know, if you get one of those every day through the whole song, you're going to end up with 364 gifts. And 184 of them are going to be live animals. Okay, so I think that this gift is and I made this statement as I was pondering through that. Flip the button, please. I said this. If the 12 days of Christmas list is what you're headed to someone's house with, you may want to call ahead and warn them, because receiving this gift, these gifts, is going to change the way they live. I'm telling you what, if you show up at somebody's house with 184 live animals and say, "Merry Christmas," that house ain't staying the same. It's just not going to happen. So you want to warn these people, and warn them, "I'm headed to your house with the 12 days of Christmas list, and I'm going to give them to you. I don't know how much of a true love that's going to be, but I'm going to give you these 364 gifts." You may want to call ahead. Isaiah 52, God's calling ahead. Isaiah 52, God's calling ahead. And he's saying, "I'm going to send a gift that's going to alter the way you live. I need to call ahead and let you know I'm coming with that gift. I don't want to just surprise you with this gift. I don't want to just assume that you're going to know. I don't know. I want to call ahead." In Isaiah 52, God is calling ahead and giving a heads up that he is on his way with a gift that's going to change the way the receiver lives. Are you with me this morning? You better eat. God says, "I know what. I know it's going to alter you. I know that it's going to rock your world. I know that it's going to change your household. So not let me just surprise you with 184 animals. Let me call ahead and let you know that if you receive this gift, it's going to alter the way you live. You cannot receive this gift and stay the way you are. But I want you to know that I'm on the way with a gift, that a gift is on the way. I want you to know that it is a powerful gift. I want you to know that it is the best gift you'll ever receive. But I will not shove it down your throat, and I will not surprise you with it. I will let you know, here's the call, I'm on my way. You don't have to answer the door. You don't have to receive my gift. But I want to warn you, if you do receive it, it will alter your life." So he continues in Isaiah 52, and he says this, "Awake, awake, O Zion, clothe yourself with strength." You know what I think he's there? It's Christmas morning. You can't hardly drag your kids out of bed at like 8 o'clock on school mornings. 4 a.m. I think that's what God says. "Wait a minute, I want you to act like a child at 4 a.m. on Christmas morning, because this gift is worth it, because this gift is powerful, because this gift is the best gift you're ever going to receive. I want you to get this gift. Awake, awake, O Zion, clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor. O Jerusalem, the holy city, the uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again." You got to understand that this time in Israel's history, Judah's history, there's great turmoil. And Judah is about ready to be taken captive by the Babylonians. And the Assyrians have already wreaked havoc on their life. And God says, "I'm going to send you a gift, but the world is upside down." We think our world is upside down. You should have lived during this time. The world is upside down. And Isaiah says, "Don't worry. God's on his way with a gift. I know your world is screwed up. I know your world is upside down. I know you've been trying to do things on your own. I know the world seems to be having victory over you right now in your life, but you got to hang on. You need to awake, awake, because I'm on my way with a gift that's going to alter the way you live. You can't only look at the world and say, this world's going to hell in the handbasket. And God says, I know, but I'm on my way with a gift. Awake, awake. Isaiah is speaking from the viewpoint of the Babylonian exile and foretelling of this coming gift, a gift that will change the world. He's saying, "I know that your world is like this, and I know that this gift is going to alter that." Let's continue to go. He said, "I want you to know, shake off your dust, rise up, sit enthroned, O Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, O captive daughters of Zion." God is amped. I don't know if he drinks coffee. I don't know if he drinks Red Bull. I don't know what he uses, but I'm telling you what, God is excited about giving a gift to his people. And I always love it when the gift giver is excited as the gift receiver. How about it? You know, I got gifts for my wife and I got gifts for my grandchildren, and I can't wait to give them those gifts. I've made gifts for people. I'm just like aching to give them that gift. I want to, I hide the gifts just to keep me from giving them to them. I can hardly resist. And God, I think, is at that moment in his life, a moment in the people's lives. Shake off your dust. Rise up. Wake up. Man, you don't know. I am on my way with a gift. For this is what the Lord says. You were sold for nothing, and without money you will be redeemed. You know what that tells me? It's a gift, 100%. Without money, you will be redeemed. Wouldn't you think, I'm going to Walmart. Hey, I don't have any money. I'm just going to get this cartload of gifts. Now, sir, you know, security, aisle two, you know, you're not going to get any of these gifts unless you pay for them. And God says, wait a minute, I'm going to change the story here. You're going to get this gift without paying for it. But you got to know, it's going to rock your world if you unwrap it. And God continues to talk through Isaiah. For this is what the Lord says. You were sold for nothing. Without money, you will be redeemed. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I love it. Let me amp it up a little bit more. The sovereign Lord, now he's calling himself. Not just Yahweh, the all-powerful Yahweh. You don't think I can bring this gift? Let me tell you who I am. I am the sovereign Lord. There ain't nobody stopped me from bringing this gift. There's no force around you. There's no winter storm. There's nothing that can keep me from bringing this gift into your very presence and into your life. Now, I'm not going to force you to unwrap it. But I'm telling you what, there's nothing that can stop me from bringing it to your door because I am the sovereign Lord. At first, my people went down to Egypt to live. Lately, Assyria has been bugging them to pieces. Or translated, oppressed. They were oppressed by them. I think we understand too, and I don't want to go into the historical evidence here of anything, but Assyria is bad warriors. These guys are mean. And God says the Assyrians have oppressed them. The Babylonians now are going to eliminate the Assyrians. So you think the Assyrians are bad? Hang on, the Babylonians are coming. And they're going to wipe the earth of the Assyrians. And they're going to do something. They're going to bring you into bondage. But hang on, I am the sovereign Lord. There's nothing can stop me from bringing this gift right to your very door. And now what do I have here, declares the Lord. For my people have been taken away for nothing, and they who rule them mock, declares the Lord. And all day long my name is constantly blasphemed. And I'm up to here with it, God says. Therefore my people will know my name. God will sign. There's no secret Santa involved here. God's going to sign the gift. Therefore, my people will know my name. Therefore, in that day, they will know that it is I who foretold it. Yes, it is I, he said. I'm going to tell you this. This is what he's saying. I'm going to tell you this ahead of time so you know when it shows up at your door, it's from me. You don't have to worry. You don't have to question. So I'm going to tell you this now. I'm on your way to your world with a gift that's going to alter the way you do life. I know your world is upside down. I know you got Assyrians in your life. You got Babylonians in your life. I know that. And they will not create a wall that I cannot come through to bring this gift to your doorstep. And I'm going to tell you that right now so that when it does show up, you know that it's from me. They call that prophecy. Continuing in the passage. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring the good news. Okay, just so we know, we're just starting to let us know a little bit more. The gift is good news. He's just started to identify and give definition to the gift. So far, he said, yeah, I want you to be excited. So far, we know that God is excited about bringing this gift. So far, we know that it takes the sovereign Lord to give this gift. So far, we know that God said, I'm gonna send you a note ahead of time because it's going to alter your life. And I'm going to send you a note ahead of time so you know that when it shows up at your door, it's me. It's God who sent it to you. And this is the first time we know that it's good news. Who bring good news, who proclaim peace, and who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. If I wasn't only on page 3 of my notes of 6 pages, I would want to unpack that a little bit more. That's powerful. But that's just in this Christmas moment. Let's just say the gift is good news. The gift has peace in it. The gift is brings good tidings. The gift is has salvation in it. The gift will allow us to proclaim our God reigns. You know what that means? That God is more powerful than anything else in my life. The gift is on his way. God has signed it. He sent a note ahead of time. You open the door, you unwrap this gift, it's going to rock your world. Listen, I love that when he uses exclamation points. It's God. Listen! Your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Okay, now he starts to unpack this a little bit more. He starts to tell them that it's going to be very visible. It's going to be a gift that you can see. Verse 9 says this, burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. What? Start singing now, he said. I know you're in ruins, but start singing now. I know your life is screwed up. Start singing now. I know you're up against it. Start singing now. I know the Assyrians are in your life. Start singing now. Not because of what's going on in your life, but because of the gift that's ready to be delivered to your door. Start singing now. Start singing and understanding that it's on the way and nothing can stop it because the sovereign Lord is the deliverer. Am I making sense this morning? Verse 10 says this. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. You know what that means in my translation? God's going to roll up his sleeve, and he's going to flex his muscles. And he's going to bring something that shows his strength. Okay, so now if we want to make a whole list of what this gift contains, it contains the strength of God. Why can only the sovereign Lord bring this gift? Because he's the only one powerful enough to bring what's in this gift. Verse 11 says, depart, depart, go out from here. Touch no unclean thing. Come out from it and be pure, you who carry the vessels of God. I just think that's just his. You're going to leave this bondage. I'm telling you right now, look at me right in the face. And I just prayed with someone that I had to kneel down with and pray today. And I looked him right in the face. I said, you, listen, in your young life, I want you to know right now, God's got you. God's got you. God's got you. God has got you. And that's what he said. You're going to depart from here. You're going to leave this bondage and you will not carry anything with you. But you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. Oh, the God of Israel will be your rear guard. You know what he says? You're not going to slip out the back, Jack. We're going through the front door. This gift is going to take you, listen, New Life First, not only is it all the things we've already talked about, and I'm not going to repeat all those just for the sake of time. I'd love to. And I would love to walk across the stage and make a step every time I say something, because that's the way I do in my office, and that's the way I drive it in my brain. But this gift has peace and all those other things we talked about, because the gift is moving us from bondage to freedom. I mean, I got some pretty cool gifts in my life. I was 10 years old and I got an Action Jackson. It's like G.I. Joe's shorter cousin. Yeah, it is. You remember, anybody else remember Action Jackson? I was so excited to receive that Army guy. And just to make a cool story really sad, I remember it was 1975 because our house burned down on Christmas Day 1975 when I was 10, and he perished in the fire. Yeah, see? I feel it. You know, I was looking him up online to see if I could buy an Action Jackson, and I'd say, why in the world do I want that? I got some pretty cool gifts in my life. Action Jackson as a 10-year-old was up there. But God says, I got a cool gift for you that's going to bring all kinds of things to your life, and it's going to move you from one spot to another in your life. But I'm not going to force it on you. I will bring it to you, and you will not slip out the back. You will not escape under the cover of darkness. You will not run in fear. We will go out the front door in the middle of the daylight. I will walk you out of this bondage that you're in. Verse 13 says this, see, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised up and lifted up and highly exalted. Oh, now we're starting to see some more of the gifts, more of this gift of what's contained in it. All of a sudden, we start to see a he is going to bring it. And something's going to happen to this gift to make the gift available. And he continues, just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond what that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness, so will he sprinkle many nations. If anybody ever asks you, do you want sprinkles with that? Say yes. The power's in the sprinkle. Because the sprinkle means this. It means to was sprinkle with blood and cause a purification of sin and give forgiveness. He will sprinkle many nations. The kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see. And what they have not heard, they will understand. Again, we could unpack that and unpack that. We could be here a half a day. But I'm going to do this. I'm going to show my strength, and I'm going to give you a gift. I'm the sovereign Lord, and I'm bringing a gift to you. It's going to rock your world. I'm not going to force you to open it. But I'm going to do everything necessary so this gift is right at your doorstep. I'm excited, God speaking here. I'm excited about giving you this gift. I am amped. I am using exclamation points all over the place. I want you to be just a fraction as excited as I am for you to receive it as I am to give it to you, God speaking. And something's going to happen to his servant that's going to make this gift very possible. I'm telling you why. They start into 53. Just let me read a few verses in 53. He says this, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And I just need to point out, that's a lament. They're lamenting, man, we got a message, and people will not receive it. They're going around and say, I know you're in bondage. Hang on. God's got a gift coming. Hooey. Oh, it breaks their heart. You don't know my God. If you can spit at the gift he wants to give you, or just push it aside, or walk by it and say, I don't need that in my life. And they go and they continue and they are brokenhearted because people will not listen that they have a message that this powerful gift that the sovereign Lord is bringing into their lives. And they continue with this in verse 2. He grew up before him like a tender shoot, or grew life from what appeared to be dead. And like a root out of the dry ground, a root out of dry ground in the middle of the spiritual drought, in the middle when nothing else is working in their life. In the middle of this dryness of what appears to be dead in your life and in my life, out of that comes life. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we would desire him. This gift is not wrapped in a fancy package. That's what it's saying. This gift is not wrapped in packaging that you want to keep the packaging. But what's in the gift is contained inside of the wrapping, and it takes this kind of action from my servant who I sent to buy this gift so that I, the sovereign Lord, could deliver it to you. Hang on, Israel! It's coming! I've sent my servant to the store in the heavenlies, and he's purchasing that gift as we speak. And when he gets it purchased, he will wrap it and he will deliver it to your door. Hang on, Israel. Hang on, Israel. Hang on, New Life. Hang on, world. Here comes the gift that will alter your world. Aren't you glad God called ahead and said, you know what? There's 184 live animals on the way to your house. I just want to let you know what I got your kids this year. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces, and was despised, and we esteemed him not. Oh. Verse 4. God's even going to tell you what's in the package. Surely, he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God and smitten by him and afflicted. I want you to know what this gift is going to do. It's going to deal with your infirmities. It's going to deal with your trouble. It's going to deal with your anxiety. It's going to deal with your disease. It's going to deal with your grief. It's going to deal with your sickness. This is quite a gift. The sovereign Lord's knocking on our door right now. The gift is at your door. It's going to deal with your sorrows, which is the word used in the Old Testament for every pain you can think of. I don't know what kind of pain you're in, but God's got a gift for that. I don't know if it's physical pain. I don't know if it's relational pain. I don't know if it's mental pain. I don't know if it's soul pain. But God's got a gift for that. I don't know if it's trouble. I don't know if it's anxiety. I don't know if it's disease. I don't know if it's grief. I don't know if it's sickness. But God's got a gift for that. The sovereign Lord says, I'm bringing it. I'm excited. I want to give it to you. The passage goes on to say this. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Let me tell you what else it's going to deal with. Push the button. It's going to deal with your transgression. You have personal rebellion. That gift deals with that. You got personal rebellion. God's got a gift for that. You got moral failing. Just let me answer that for you. Yes, we do. And you need a gift for that. God says you've rebelled. And before we say, big deal that I rebelled against God, hang on to that thought. You may want to know the outcome of personal rebellion against God. He is the sovereign Lord. He is bringing your gift. Your iniquities or your perverseness, you're perverts. God says, I got a gift for that. Your depravity, your total lostness, you don't even care. You're not even looking. I got a gift for that. Your corruptness and your guiltiness, I got a gift for that. I got a gift for your infirmities. I got a gift for your sorrows. I got a gift for your transgressions. I got a gift for your iniquities. And that gift is going to bring you peace and healing. It's going to bring you forgiveness of sin and a restoring of God's favor on your life. See, I just want to point out, I don't think we have as much problem, especially maybe in the church or whatever. I'll say, I have sin in my life, and that's a reality. You transgressed against God. You have stepped across the line with God. You got a moral falling and a moral failing. I've got iniquities. I get that. And all of a sudden, we receive the gift, and we open up just a portion of the gift that deals with our sin, but we never really open the portion of the gift that deals with our infirmities and our pain and our sorrow. And God says, why? I'll deal with the sin, and you open up that gift, and you got a relationship with me. Would you open the rest of the gift and say, let me deal with your disease and your grief. Let me deal with your pain. Let me deal with your inside issues. Let me deal with your heart. Let me deal with your soul. Let me deal with that stuff inside of you. You opened a portion of the gift, but you didn't open all the gifts. Does that make sense this morning? Because I want to bring peace and healing to you. I want that gift to be unwrapped in your presence and by you. I can't unwrap it for you. Don't you love it when you have a kid that's really anxious and a kid maybe a little more laid back or not as old, and that one kid will really get anxious about helping another kid open their gifts? It's like that kid is running all over the room and opening up everybody's gifts. They are so excited about opening gifts. This is one gift you can't open for somebody else. This is one gift you have to open for yourself. And this gift will alter your life, so God calls ahead. Verse 6 says this, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon us the iniquity, upon him the iniquity of us all. You know what that says? I'm sending this gift into your world, into your life, right to your doorstep. I am the sovereign God. It's going to rock your world. And just so you know, everyone needs it. And this gift is not, it's not under the tree, it's on the tree. And you need to take it off the tree. This gift is Jesus. And he came into the world to seek and save those who needed this gift. And I don't know if this Christmas of 2018. It's going to be your day to open up an infirmity gift, a sorrow gift, a transition or transgression gift, iniquity gift, or maybe all of the gifts together. So I understand that some of you and some of us have opened the gift that has taken care of our transgression, that has taken away our iniquity. Don't forget to open the gift that takes away all of that and brings healing and life to you. God wants to give you peace, and He wants to give you healing, and He wants to touch the inner parts of who you are. Please take a gift off the tree on your way out. Don't hurt yourself on the nails, because Jesus already did that. God says, I'm calling ahead. Don't think you can receive a gift that won't alter your world. It will. I am the sovereign Lord, and I have brought the most powerful gift that you can ever imagine. Rule number one on the gifts. Be careful if you lift your child up to get a gift and you don't take one. Everyone needs a gift. There's a bunch of them on there. Stand with me today. Father, I know that we can sing songs about Rudolph, which is okay. This is not an anti-Rudolph sermon. It's a pro-Jesus sermon. And Father, you have brought us the greatest gift possible. And you did not sneak it in the back door. You brought it right down the main aisle. And God, you did not put from secret something on it. You just put from God, the sovereign Lord, who loves you more than you can know. And so, Father, as we process and think about this gift that you have brought to our door, the gift that takes our infirmities, that takes our sorrows, that takes care of our transgressions, that takes care of our iniquities, that brings peace and health to our lives. There is no way I can receive this gift that it won't alter my life. I think 184 live animals would really alter it. Not near what it'll alter to take Jesus as my Savior. So God, as we reach up and maybe take one of those keychains, Jesus with your name written on it, may it be more than just taking a keychain off of a nail. May it be receiving a gift from God that only God can give. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for Isaiah 52 and 53. And as a matter of fact, the rest of the Bible as well. Father, as we go this day, may we be mindful that we are your sons and your daughters. And that we are people who you love. And we are people who you yourself have shopped for a gift for and are at our door with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.